died, Father, is nothing left. Ever since I was a child, I had a feeling something is missing in me. I want to know why I am here. Can any listener of that? Become yourself. Let God and the devil don't mess. I want to learn. I want to understand. Be careful. Can you find the force to enable these two quite opposite lives to live together in yourself? At any moment, the wolf can devour the lamb. And you must learn what it means to become responsible. This is an exact place. And that is why you are here.
Everyone, thank you for tuning in to Red Eyes Radio. I'm Henrik Palmgren, and if you are joining us for the first time, we are a radio program that goes out worldwide over the internet through our website, redeyescreations.com. We have over a year of radio programs for you on all kinds of topics available for you to stream or download for free, and we do spare you from commercial interruptions. We feature interviews with authors, researchers, filmmakers, and different people who have interesting material to share with us. And today, to kick off the first program of this new year, 2013, we have Jordan Maxwell back on the program. He has been researching secret societies, occult philosophies, ufology, and seeking answers to the big questions since 1959. He continues as a preeminent researcher and independent scholar in the field of occult religious philosophy. His work on the subject of secret societies, both ancient and modern, and their symbols has fascinated audiences around the world for decades and has become a very popular subject, considering the rapidly moving events of today and the very real part that hidden religious agendas play in our modern war-torn world. He feels that these controversial subjects are not only interesting to explore, but too important to ignore. And we always appreciate hearing from Jordan, agree or disagree. He has a lot to say, and it's always interesting having him back on, so all right, let's get to it. All right, Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome back. This is, of course, Red Eyes Radio. It's really good to have you with us. And we have Jordan Maxwell with us today to kick off the new year. We are actually into 2013, believe it or not. We're still here, and the world is still ticking on as it has before. And so it's good to have you back, Jordan. Thank you for joining us here for the first show of the 2013 season, as it were. So welcome, Jordan. Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much for having me on. Always good to be with you.
You bet, Jordan. Now, did you think we were going to be here a few years back? I don't know what you thought about the whole 2012 debate and all of this, of course, but to a lot of people, it was obvious we're still going to be here and ticking and going. Maybe not in the shape we are today. I would think certain things would be much worse, actually, often, and in certain areas it certainly has progressed quicker than we thought. But what's your thought on the whole 2012 thing?
Well, you know, back in 1999, German national television sent over a film crew from Germany and did an hour show on me, and the show was basically, and it was all translated into German. I have a copy of it, the show was basically, they were asking me what did I think was going to happen with Y2K. This was in 1999. It was going to be shown in the last part of 1999. And I basically said back then, concerning Y2K, that nothing was going to happen. That the only thing that might change was that football might come on Monday night instead of Sunday night, and that the taxes will for sure go up, and the rich will get richer, and the poor will get poorer, but basically nothing's going to change And I thought, and I said that I think that this hype about Y2K is probably being orchestrated by NSA, National Security Administration, and or the CIA, just to see how gullible the American public is, and to see how much of an impact the CIA can make on society, to see if they can get society, you know, all riled up about something. And so I said, basically, I don't see anything happening for Y2K at all, nothing. And that was my same feeling. I've been on a couple of shows just before December, and I said the same thing. I didn't think anything was going to happen. I think that everybody's looking in the wrong place. I think some momentous things have happened. But you know, December 21st was not it. I think some terrible, horrible things have happened. But the end of the world, I don't think, I understand what the concepts of the end of the world, the end of time and all that kind of thing. But most of that is all fluff and religion. And as far as I'm concerned, this last stuff was going on about the Mayan calendar. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there was a lot of CIA handiwork in that, just to stir up the pot a little bit and scare people a little more, keep them occupied. I remember many years ago hearing a lady who was an official with the Democratic Party, and she was telling us that that she taught people and that she was taught, and then she turned around and was teaching new people coming into the Democratic Party as officials, that you must always, it was an idea the Democratic Party said, you must always have a crisis coming. You must always have something that's the imminent, some terrible crisis is going to happen, because it keeps the people on their toes, keeps people agitated.
Yeah.
And keeps them off balance, because they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, so they can't get organized. They can't live in peace and prosperity and quietness, so that they can think and plan and understand what's going on. Just keep them occupied with worrying themselves sick about the end, about the media's going to hit, or comet's going to hit, or world war or something. Keep them occupied so that they're always concerned. And that way they don't have time to sit down quietly and just think about what's actually going on. And so I kind of figured that anyway, but hearing her talk about that, so that's pretty much what I feel is going on all the time, is we're just being played for fools. And
yeah, you're right, Jordan. I mean, this idea is very important to mention, that we can see that reflected in many different movements. But the Green Movement, for example, is very much about don't think. We have to act now. We cannot. This is not the time to argue about what's going on, you know, because then we would, of course, discover what really is going on.
Yeah, and I remember when I was growing up, I used to always hear, well, there are two things that we don't talk about in polite company, and that's religion and politics.
Yeah.
And I always thought to myself, why? Those are the two things that cause people to do the things they do, is religion and politics. Why not talk about religion and politics? Because those are the two things that motivate the world. Well, now, of course, I understand why we don't talk about religion and politics, because, one, it might cause people to start thinking, and God knows we don't want that. And, two, we don't want people even discussing such issues. And so that's why we're given plenty of entertainment and ball games and all kinds of, computer games and just entertainment galore. We got all kinds of entertainment and distractions so that people don't sit down too long in one place and start thinking too deeply about anything. So it's pretty obvious.
It is pretty obvious, and I wonder how much of these things are, psyops, if we can call them that, or they're dropped into the mass consciousness in different things. I mean, I'm thinking back of this article that NASA released back in the 70s, I think it was, about Planet X. There was a brown dwarf, star somewhere out there swirling around. And I just wonder how much that, of course, contributed to the whole Planet X movement, for example.
I know, you're right. That's exactly right. Because all that kind of stuff, every time you turn around, it's something. Some terrible tragedy is coming on the Earth, and the only real tragedy is that the American people collectively have got an IQ of 40. That's the only real tragedy. And nobody's questioning anything. There's a real tragedy there.
That's right.
So, like I said, there's a lot of horrible things that have happened, but, December 21st wasn't one of them.
Now, what if we look at the deeper aspects of that? Obviously, the most important point is what you just kind of mentioned, that people are occupied. We're being entertained for different reasons. We are not allowed to settle down and think for ourselves. Of course, if we did take personal responsibility, we could just turn off the TV or even turn off the internet in these days and try to find some real truth, some real balance. We know that we're being played on different ways, but how do you manage the balance between the curiosity of want to try to find out what really is going on, hence you have to watch the news, you have to watch the web, but at the same time kind of keep your distance to it. I think this is something that's very difficult for people, Jordan.
Well, for me, it's fairly easy because I'm used to it, only because I've been doing that same thing for so many years. I always keep in mind that anything that you hear on television or in the newspapers or magazines and the media in America, whatever it is, it's most likely a lie. I remember on ABC network radio many, many years ago, a very famous talk show host who was also a journalist, he made an interesting statement and it stuck with me for years. He said, if you want to know how corrupt and lying American media is. Now, this is a guy on ABC Network as a talk show host, and he says, if you want to know how corrupt and lying and trickery is going on in the news departments on the networks, he said, just wait till they do a story on you. Wait till you're involved in something that the news people come in and they will be reporting something, on television and radio and in the magazines concerning something you were involved in.
Yeah.
And this way you will know because you were there and you were involved in it. Now read what they said happened as opposed to what you know damn well happened.
That's right.
And he said, then you will see how corrupt the news media really is. Wait till they do a story on you.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? I've been involved maybe in 2-3 cases where I've actually witnessed something firsthand and then seen afterwards how the media portrayed it. And it's been wrong in every case, wrong in every... And you hear that from people all the time as well. They didn't get anything right,
That's why I say it's a wonderful quality, consistency, to be wrong all the time. And you can't be wrong all the time by chance. You've got to be wrong all the time because that's what you're in business to do, is distort the news. Period. That's what news services are there to do, to distort the news, to distort what's going on, to keep the people agitated, ignorant, and ill-informed, and therefore you can control them. It's very simple. I mean, if I were going to be a dictator, I would want people educated. My God, I mean, if people are smarter than you are, why would you even bother to try and be a dictator over people who are brighter than you are and smarter than you are?
Yeah.
If you're going to be a dictator, make sure everyone in town has an IQ of 40. Do whatever you have to do to keep people stupid, ignorant, on drugs, alcohol, whatever. Keep them busy, especially keep them occupied with games. Give them a ball game and then just start thinking about that. We have soccer ball, baseball, football, tennis, golf ball, all the ball games. This is what you do for kids, children.
That's right.
It's kids are, and the kids are in your way, you just tell the kids, go out and play. And all over the world, always you say, go out and play with a ball. Go out and play ball. And we even say that in business and in commerce, you know, when you're working for a corporation. They call you in and, you know, and they say, you know, are you on the team? Are we here? You're not playing ball. And so these terms have come to be even accepted in business. You're a team player. And they want you to play ball. So I've come to the point where I've just kind of dropped out of society. I see what's going on. And I've been watching it for over 53 years now and talking about it. So I understand where we are now and where we're going. I just think it's really, really horrible that young people are not told anything. They're not given the opportunity to know what's going on, where they're going, where they've come from. And as far as I'm concerned, it's very difficult for me to be optimistic about the future because I know too much. I've been through too much. I've seen too much and I've been privy to hear things and see things that other people will not ever even know exist. And it's very, very frightening what the future holds for the human race. So we're watching it all happening right now.
Do you think that there is, do you see any way out of this? I mean, I've always thought that the way things are now, basically the system will have to collapse and crumble. We have to walk away from it and just let it fall. And then maybe something more authentic could kind of rise in its place. And that's a potential positive.
I totally believe that. Yes. And the reason why I say that is because when you see, like when Obama was, the night Obama was elected, all over the world, people were dancing in the streets. Dancing in the streets.
Yeah.
And there were tears, in the eyes of young people dancing and crying and weeping. And it was just an incredible display of ignorance, stupidity, and profound goofiness, worship, a hero worship.
Sorry to interrupt, but I wonder how much of that also was a planted people that were paid to share and everything.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that a lot of that was planted. Like the philosopher said, for those who will not learn from history, you're bound to repeat it.
Yep.
And so that's what we're doing now in America. We're repeating. And also there was another quote in history. I don't know, made it, but it was during World War II. It said, America has become what we beheld. That's an interesting idea and a quote. America has become what we beheld. Meaning that during the Second World War, we were involved in watching the murder and violence and chaos and incredible scenes of violence all over the world. And so we got used to it. And so now that's us. We now become that which we beheld. We are now doing it ourselves. So all the stuff that we saw Adolf Hitler doing in Europe, we are now doing here. All the things that we saw the Russians and the communists doing in the Soviet Union, we're now doing here. All the stuff that we see the mafia doing and the organized crime and the underworld, we're now doing it here. So every time, you know, we learn, we just sit and watch things happen and then we go out and mimic it. So it's just amazing how much we, you know, the more we change, the more we stay the same.
Yeah.
We don't seem to learn from anything. We don't seem to learn. And I will tell you what I think is going to happen. I think we're going to see the collapse of Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And not the first time it's happened, and it will not be the last. But it's going to be very, very bad when it does happen.
Let me ask you this, Jordan, about that, because, again, this people immediately think to, doomsday about that again, of course, and they think, oh, there's something's going to happen overnight, basically. But same thing has happened with the Roman Empire. This was prolonged over a couple of hundred years, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. It takes a long time, in other words, for something to crumble and fall.
Right. It's little by little by little, and you begin to see it if you know what you're looking for. And that's why most people don't see what's going on, because they're not looking for it. I already know what to look for. When the one thing you need to always look for in a decaying civilization, when an empire is in decline, the first thing you notice is that the majority of the people begin to lose their humanity. And I'm watching that among Americans. Today, wherever you go in America, people have lost their humanity. They don't even know how to think anymore. And like Gore Vidal used to say, and I totally agree with him, he said, "Welcome to the United States of incompetency." And that's exactly what's going on. Our people of America have become incompetent, downright stupid in many cases, can't even figure out what's going on. They see three high-rises fall down into dust, and they think that's just normal. That's what high-rises do. They always do that. They've always done that. And they don't realize there's never been a time in human history when three high-rises, any high-rises, ever fallen down into dust. And so it shows me, and also another classic example of what I'm talking about is law enforcement. There used to be a time when the police were just like us. It was just regular working class people that were police officers. Today, among the police across the nation, it's like a police state mentality. It's a them against us. And they have, riot gear and, automatic weapons, and they are heavily dressed for war, and that's part of humanizing of the human race. The whole entire superstructure of Christian civilization is collapsing, and it's collapsing for many different reasons. And one is that the superstructure of religion in the Western world was always corrupt. It never was a time when religion was legitimately spiritual. It was always a political establishment.
Yep.
The Catholic Church, I think, has tried its best to prove that in your face with their inquisitions and murder and violence and mayhem and torture and killing and murdering across Europe.
That's right. It's funny to me, Jordan, hearing, what foreigners in Sweden, from Sweden, and what foreigners say about, the Vikings and all that, that they were, horrible murderer, people that were traveling around and butchering everybody else and all that. But the Roman Empire, the Roman Church is like, is the saint.
The Roman Church scared the hell out of the Vikings.
Right, yeah.
Because the Vikings were a people, but they were a people, while the Vatican is a corporation. They're a business. That's what they do for a living. And they are all over the world. And so when you start doing research into the connections behind the scenes with the Communist Party and the Vatican, very, very heavily connected. And the Nazi movement, very heavily connected to the Vatican. And, of course, corporate law, maritime admiralty, international business, and international business law, corporate law, all of that can be traced back to the Vatican. I've said before that for about 2,300 years, Rome has dominated Europe. First of all, obviously, under the Caesars. And then with the fall of the Roman Empire in probably about the 5th century, A.D., with the fall of the Roman Empire, the Vatican picked up the slack and continued to carry on the work of the Roman Empire, and the papacy was still Rome dominating Europe. And so for 1,600 years or so, Rome has dominated Europe under the Vatican, And totally, Rome has dominated Europe for about 2,300 years. Now, that's important because for 2,300 years, Europe has dominated the whole world.
Yeah.
Europe has dominated the planet. So, therefore, that's where we get the idea of all roads lead to Rome. Because Rome has dominated Europe for 2,300 years, and Europe's dominated the Earth for 2,300 years. So, therefore, all of the racism and violence and wars and bloodshed and corruption and degeneracy can all be traced back to Rome. It all goes back to Rome. So, you know, there is some very important things in the Bible and the New Testament. I don't condemn the Bible, and I don't condemn spirituality. I condemn corporate religion, but I have a very high respect for spiritual things, and especially for the concept of God. I don't have any problem believing in a divine presence in the universe that men have called God. I don't have any presence, any problems whatsoever with believing in God. I have a problem with the corporate religions who claim to know God. So that's my thing. But when you look at one of the most interesting quotes from Jesus was someone came to Jesus and had a seed, and they asked him, "What kind of a seed is this?" And he said, "Put it into the ground, water it, let it grow. And later on, if you find it was an apple tree grew, well, I guess it was an apple seed. And if it was a pear tree came up, well, I guess it was a pear seed. So therefore, the principle is, by their fruits you shall know them."
Mm.
Therefore, I would then take that and say, well, what is the fruitage of the three major religions of the book? Christianity, Judaism, and Islam all rely on a book. So they're called the people of the book. So what is the fruitage of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam? What is the fruitage? For the past 2,500 years, what is the fruitage of those three major religions? We'll look all over the world and you will see the fruitage of those three religions. Nothing but violence, pornography, drugs running, world wars, killings, murder. It's just the whole civilization is out of control. Well, that's the fruitage of those three religions. So as far as I'm concerned, the three religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, are nothing more than the work of secret societies. I do believe that there is some very valuable information and material in the Bible. And also in the New Testament story. I mean, when we get into that, that's a whole other story. I mean, it's a whole other subject
that
I am very, very interested in, the symbolism and the metaphors in the New Testament. Well, that's a whole different subject.
Definitely, we might get opportunity to get back to that a little bit later. I wanted to ask you about what some people argue is that what they claim what we see in the world today is not a product of religion, but it's because people have turned away from religion. They try to argue that it's an occult force in the world, and if people only turned back to the Bible, you know, things would be good. What would you say to that?
Well, two things. I understand that thinking, but I'm saying if the religion that you have is not based on truth to start with, then it's going to fall down and break down somewhere. It's going to fall apart sometime, somewhere. It's going to begin to erode and fall apart if it's not based on truth and factual truth. And if it's not based on spirituality, if it's based on politics. And so much of what we call Judaism and Christianity and Islam are more political than they are anything else. And my mother used to say that all the time. There's never been a political movement that wasn't a little religious. And there's never been a religious movement that wasn't a little political. So I believe those three major religions, to begin with, were based on incorrect assumptions, were based on manipulation of the people politically for social ends, and had nothing to do with spirituality. Christianity has little to nothing to do with spirituality at all. Judaism has a little bit to do with spirituality, but it's all the occult stuff. And Islam, in my opinion, has nothing to do with anything. It's just an incredible monstrosity. So I don't see that the three religions have a legitimate spiritual basis for even being here on the earth at all. They serve no spiritual purpose at all. And so therefore, the religion of those three religions have really not offered the human race anything dependable, anything that's concrete. It's a religion. So I see a very, very big difference between religion and spirituality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Now, I wanted to return to a point you mentioned before. You talked about, well, secret societies and subversive and also revolutionary movements that they, might have been guided from Rome, basically. And I want to get your take on the Occupy movement. You've no doubt seen all seen Anonymous. Yeah. They adopted the Guy Fawkes mask, who was, of course, a Jesuit-trained man who tried to burn down the parliament in London. And this, of course, I think all of this has basically been caught on from the movie V for Vendetta. And it's on like wildfire. What's your take on this? How do you interpret some of these symbols that we're getting through these new revolutionary movements right now?
Well, I think what it's doing, it's playing on the longing of the peoples of the world, the people that, generally speaking, the regular, normal, everyday person in the street is frustrated and angry because he knows that the world that he lives in is corrupt and evil. And so I think there's a lot of unrest in the world today with governments and with institutions. And so it's a fertile field. All you need to do is get somebody out there like a Martin Luther King or someone who is articulate and can lead a group. And it's a very fertile field out there because people know that the world we live in is corrupt. And so there's a lot of anger and a lot of resentment and frustration. But on the other hand, I also watch the words, the terms, the symbols that are used by these groups. And I appreciate them demonstrating for what they feel is bad about society. But all the time, I'm also well aware that the symbols, the words, the terms, the catchphrases that are being used by these movements are all purely Marxist-Leninist, communist stuff, Nazis, fascism. And so it's the people are being misled by political hacks and people in power using the frustration of the people. So I mean I understand the anger and the resentment that the people in the Occupy movement have.
Sure.
I totally agree. But on the other hand, I know also that the symbols and the words and the terms that are used come directly out of Marxist-Leninism. So that's why I'm not too impressed with any of it.
It's a red flag for you, I guess. I mean, what's happening under Obama right now in America and everything, you've detailed that about the rising sun and everything, and they're invoking very, very powerful symbolism here.
That's right, but it's very ancient, and anyone who studies these ancient symbols over many years and studied all of these ancient secret societies and fraternal orders and military and religious orders, and realizes that the whole world operates underground. So, the real stuff that's going on, you'll never see. You'll never hear anything about it. So I've been looking at this kind of thing for over 50 years, and it's very obvious to me what's going on. I know where it's all come from, I know where we are now, and I damn well know exactly where we're going in the future. I can see it. I already know where we're going. And it's frightening to me, but at 72 years old, I know I'm not going to be here much longer. And I've done the best I could to awaken my fellow man. But I'm also at a very big disadvantage because I am not going to be able to tell publicly the things I would like to say.
There is
so I would love to be able to actually tell my fellow man in America. But I am frightened to death of my government. I am frightened to death of Washington, D.C. And so I know way more than I will ever be able to tell because I don't want to be arrested at 3 o'clock in the morning and taken to a warehouse and tortured and find my body in an alley somewhere because that's what happens in America if you talk too much. This is America. And you know, land that are free and home of the brave. Well, like Dick Gregory said, you're not free or brave. You better watch your mouth. So there's just so much I would love to be able to tell the public that I know, but I will never be able to do that. And that's why I'm on any big radio shows.
All right. No words on the way out, so to speak. I mean, is this something you've... You've collected over the years, of course, and it's something you've been, basically waiting for to tell about. Shouldn't there be an opportunity for you to do that at some point? I mean,
I don't think so. No.
No.
No, I don't think so. I've been asked that, and I've been told that in private. Radio talk show hosts have called me and said, we know that you're holding back stuff. We know that you are not telling us. The whole story that you know, and I tell them that's exactly right, that's precisely right, and I'm not about to. And as each day goes on, I'm even more and more convinced I am not about to tell the stuff I really know. Not now. For many good reasons. I've got some very good reasons. And so.
All right.
I feel bad about that.
Sure.
I know and I see things, and I'm aware of things which are going on. But as far as I'm concerned, it's so far out of control that I'm not going to be able to do anything about it. And here's another thing to keep in mind. One of the major radio talk shows in America has called me a couple, three times, and they said we'd like to have you on. But we know that you're holding back and you're not talking about the stuff that we want to hear. And I quickly came back and said, listen, think about this for a minute. You want your audience to hear something really interesting and something really tantalizing. And so I could go out and tell you all kinds of things that would be really explosive, very explosive stuff that I know. And I can prove it. And that way it would be a great show. People would love it. It was very, very interesting. But after the show is over, a week from now, people will have totally forgotten all about it and gone back to work and forgot all about it. But me, I'm in trouble now. Now I'm the one that's going to pay the price for shooting my mouth off and talking about something while the public was entertained. I'm now going to jail. I'm now going to be, I now have to worry and look over my shoulder everywhere I go. Now I have to worry about being kidnapped or tortured or put in prison or put in jail. Are they going to find some narcotics in my car and I'm going away for 30 years in prison? Why? Because I talk too much in public. I know what's going on, and I'm not about to talk about the things I would love to and I've wanted to all my life. I don't even want to do it anymore, even in private. Even in private, when people come around to talk to me in private, I still don't tell them what I've seen and what I've been a witness to.
I have a suggestion for you, Jordan, if you don't mind. And Of course, I hate sitting here talking about you not being part of this and being able to talk to you anymore. It's very discomforting, but nonetheless, since we're on that topic, we're talking about maybe a day when you won't be here with us anymore. And why not write it down or let's say record it and keep it a secret, but just enough to be able to tell someone of where they could find the recording or find the paper or what have you that shares and details some of this with us.
If I trusted, I wouldn't mind sitting for an afternoon and just talking about all the things that I really would like the people to know. But I would be frightened and fearful that if it ever got out while I'm still alive, I'd be in prison overnight.
Aren't there those boxes, I guess safety deposit boxes, that could be released by a will after the fact, and that way someone would have it? I know, again, it sounds horrible to talk about this, but you know what I'm getting at here, right?
Of course. I know. It is a big problem because the longer, the more I just sit quietly and watch, the worse it gets. And I'm aware of that saying that all evil needs to succeed is enough good men doing nothing.
That's right.
And
yeah.
I understand that. But I feel I've done the best I could and still keep my head and still not be murdered and found dead in an alley somewhere. I've already been threatened by government. I've already had threats against my life. I've already had threats over the years. So at 72 years old, I don't feel like speaking to power. I don't feel like confronting power and confronting powerful people who are mentally disordered and will kill you at a drop of a hat. That's what we've got.
Sure.
That's where we are. And so, it's like going on the radio publicly and talking about the mafia.
Yeah.
And names and giving names, addresses, and phone numbers, and giving all kinds of private and personal information that you're privy to. Well, you better have your own army. You better leave town. You better leave the country.
Well, Jordan, this one thing I just want to mention about this as well, and at least from my own personal, from my point of view, what you've given, me, what you've given us, and I think many people who are listening to this right now as well, who followed your work throughout the years and everything else, is an extremely valuable, thing and an aspect that has to do with a way of thinking, of opening up one's eyes to a bigger reality. I'm not talking about the things that are, that I have to agree with you on 100%, or the matter if you're 100% factually correct on every point. That's not the point here. What I'm trying to get to is the esoteric ideas, the occult ideas, when it comes to seeing relationships between symbols, even etymology, the words, how they relate to each other. These are ideas that have opened up. And I mean, I know this radio show wouldn't exist probably if it wasn't for the work you've done throughout the years. And I think a lot of websites and a lot of other shows out there as well, could say the same on this. And therefore, it's incredibly valuable what you've already has done. And it's tremendous. I want to show you some gratitude for what you've done already. And for me, anyway, it's not here that I'm waiting and saying, hey, why haven't you done more for us, Jordan? So that's not what this is about at all.
Well, I appreciate it, and I thank you for that. And it's been a long, hard road. And there was a time when I started out back in I actually really got into this about 1960, 61. And I was always very zealous and really was intrigued with all the dark stuff that I was encountering. And for some reason, I was able to be in the company of and meet all kinds of interesting people ordinarily you would never meet. I was in the company of mafia guys and politicians, scientists, physicists, writers, researchers, politicians, as I said, and secret societies and fraternal orders, and I was amazed at all the different kind of people that I ended up being in the company of. It was as if I was being drawn to them, or they're being brought to me. I don't know how to explain it. But almost every day I was meeting somebody who was really strange and interesting, who was involved in some dark stuff. And I'm talking about when I'm 18, 19, 20 years old. And so all my life I've been able to be in the company of incredible people, doing extraordinary stuff. And I learn from them. I'm not learning to be like them, but I'm learning subjects that most people don't even know exist.
That's right. Mm.
And so what I wanted to do was at least make people aware of the subjects without getting myself thrown into prison or hurt or causing other people trouble. And that's another thing, too, because when I learn something from someone, the powers that be, when they hear me talking about, they're going to know somebody talked to me, and they're going to know who it was, and that person's going to be in trouble. So I have to watch what I say, too, because I don't want to get someone else in trouble who confided in me. So sure. I've been very, very blessed to meet a lot of interesting people in my life and learn things and begin to look at the whole world from a totally, totally different point of view.
Well, that's where I think, Jordan, you've done so well. You haven't, if I can put it this way, held the individuals you talked to in the hand and walked them through the door. You've rather showed them where the doors are or how many different ones there are, and basically just sparked the curiosity, at least for me. That's what you've done with your work and made me realize how much it actually is out there to look into and all these tidbits that, you know, you've collected, as you say, throughout the years. And I also believe on top of that there is a force in nature or in our world that actually is, you know, guiding our individual journey. And that's a force that also wants to see much of these hidden things come to light. And therefore, it's why you have been shown some of these things, I believe.
For some reason, I have been in the company of extraordinary people. I've met some of the most powerful people in the world. And been in their company, and I didn't realize at the time who they were, but we got along just great. And I liked them, they liked me, and we became good friends, and I never questioned. I don't question who a person is. If they're being nice to me, I'm nice to them. And then I find out who they are, and it's shocking. And I'm thinking, my God, you mean that's who I was in the company of? But then I look back on all of these different kinds of people that I've known and had experiences with, and I'm just amazed how much the world just does not know what's going on. So I've tried to awaken my fellow man and do it in such a way that just pique their curiosity and make people want to study and learn and open up their minds, because like I say, your mind's like a parachute, doesn't work if it's not open.
Yeah.
I've tried to do that, because I'll tell you one of the reasons why I have dedicated my life to doing this. It's because when I was a child, I always wanted, really sincerely wanted to know. I was extremely curious about everything. And I was very methodical in my wanting to know. I would ask methodical questions of the adults around me, trying to get to the bottom of a subject. And and as I grew up in my teen years, I came across many different speakers, teachers, lecturers that I could go to hear speeches and lectures by people that were talking about the things I was interested in. And I was always so appreciative. I don't care if the people were wrong or not. I was always appreciative to be able to go and hear someone talking and telling me and explaining to me things about the occult world, about history, about commerce, about religion, things that I was interested in, I really wanted to know, and thank God there were people out there who were open to talk to me and tell me the things that I wanted to know. So I wanted to turn around and do the same thing for other people who are like me, who want to know. So I wanted to turn around and do the same thing, provide for people who want to know where to go to look for the information.
Yeah. Well, you've done it really well, Jordan, I think, so thank you for that.
I do it.
Do you think, just to you know, raise that point again here, but do you think, though, Jordan, that these subjects and a lot of things that, you know, we're into that we talk about on this program that you've been talking about throughout the years, is that for the masses? Is it going to be something that, you know, every everyday Joe on the street gets, do you think?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I'm now convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that this kind of information is on a need-to-know basis, and that you don't decide. Let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
When I say you don't decide to do anything, I am totally believe in the presence of God, so to speak. I don't use that term very often, but I do believe in the presence of the Spirit, and I think that the Spirit draws you to the Spirit, to knowledge. And if the Spirit does not want you knowing it, it won't draw you to it. So it's almost as if there is some kind of a higher intelligence in the universe that looks at all of us and decides, according to your heart and according to your real spiritual self, the legitimacy of your spiritual longings. And if it sees that you really are sincere and wanting to know, then it will provide for you that knowledge. I mean, that is how the scripture says, knock and it will be opened. Seek and you will find, and ask and it will be given. Implying that you have to really sincerely want to know. Not just be interested to be entertained, you know, for the moment, but you really are seeking knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Well, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And therefore, if you really sincerely want to know, the Spirit, God, so to speak, the Spirit will see to it that you will learn what it is that you want, that you're looking for, without what you're longing to know about. It will show you. Knock and it will be open. Seek and you will find. You know, ask and it will be given.
Yeah.
Well, I always wanted to know. I spent my whole life, you know, sitting in libraries and writing books. I used to write letters continually. I had written so many letters all around the world. I used to write to governments, to organizations, societies, fraternal orders. I used to write to the Soviet government, to the Chinese government. I used to write letters to all these different governmental agencies in Peru and Argentina and Germany. And I was fascinated getting back the letters, official letters from governments answering my requests. And every time they were always very, very cordial, very respectful and thanking me for my interest in their country and this symbol or that symbol or you know, whatever it was I was looking at. And it was kind of like a real head trip for me. I just loved it. I loved writing fraternal orders in Germany and England and asking them, why do you use this? Why do you use that? And what is the implication? And it was fun doing that. I don't consider it to be fun anymore. I mean, I've been there and I've done that and it's over. But today, of course, with the web, my God, you can do all kinds of, you know, research now. And that's another crazy thing, is the fact that today so much is available on the web for research, and people are even more stupid than what they were when I was doing.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, it's true. More information overload, and then people just shut down, I guess, huh?
Absolutely. And their minds are shut down and nobody knows anything. And it's all right there in front of you. All you've got to do is think to ask the question.
That's right. Well, that's exactly. That's a good point. You have to have the the curiosity there. You have to have the intelligence to compose the question. You know, if you can't ask it,
right.
There are some tremendous and magnificent
right.
answers at our disposal here, you know.
Right there in front of you, but you just didn't ask the right question.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, Joe, finish up that point, by the way.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I've always understood that if you want to know, it's out there. So when I hear people say, well, I've often wondered about this and that, I said, well, why don't you do some research and find out about it? I mean, if you can read,
all
you got to go to the library and read a book. I mean, instead of just mouthing that, you know, you'd like to know about this, why don't you actually read about it, study it, so that, you know, I'm the first one that always says, I don't know, I'm not the world's foremost authority on anything. And never have been an authority on anything. But I have always loved wisdom and knowledge. And I find now, when I'm asked to speak in universities and colleges, and I've been on the platform in large universities with other speakers, and people in the audience are throwing questions, I feel confident that, you know, I've done my homework. I know what I'm doing, and I have opinions. Well, you know, it's just my opinion, but if you're asking me what I think, I'll tell you what I think, and I'll tell you why I think it. So I'm always willing to share with an audience what my thoughts are, because I've spent my whole life pursuing dark subjects and dark knowledge, and I've been in the company of people who know. And so I just found it to be very interesting. And today, of course, is very depressing, because so much I would love to be able to tell, I can't now. And we've talked about that already.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's very unfortunate, and I hope you know that you, well, in one regard, do change your mind or think about some of the ideas that I mentioned to you, that there are ways to disseminate this information after the fact, so you don't have to be in a position where you're afraid, you know, to share with it with the world. But that's ultimately your decision. It's your life, and it's your you know, knowledge in that regard. But I mean, overall, I mean, I very much appreciate the work that you've done, and I think you made a tremendous contribution to the ideas of you know, finding answers about these esoteric, occult, and symbolic, you know, subjects that you know, I as well have been so interested in over the years. So I appreciate your work very much. Now, listen, Jordan, before we take a break here in a few minutes, I want to just talk a little bit about your website here, so that we can make sure we give out the correct one, and you can mention how much you want to about that, of course, but let's make sure we have the correct URL so people know where to go to find it, first of all, Jordan.
Well, I'll tell you what, let me give you my email and my phone number. I'm always interested to have people call me or email me. I try always to make myself available to everyone on the phone and answering. I live by myself and I have no help, so you know I can't answer all the emails, but I do the best I can. But if you want to email me, it's jordanmaxwell@gmail.com. But the Jordan does not have an A. Ordinarily, it would be J-O-R-D-A-N. But there is no A in my email. So it's jordanmaxwell@gmail.com. And my phone number is 818-514-6294. That's 818 in Los Angeles, 818-514-6294. So you can email me or call me. I'll try and get back to you, because I try and make myself available to everyone, because I was always appreciative of people that I wanted to talk to, that I had heard on the radio or attended a lecture, and I wanted to talk to them, and when they would take the time to talk with me and help me, I always appreciated that very much, and so that's what I want to do. I want to be able to make myself available to anybody who, as best I can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's really good that you can do that. You want to do that, of course. And same here. I wish I could talk to everybody. There's just not time. That's the bottom line. Nothing would be done. You know.
No, you're right. You're right. That is difficult too, because there is a shortage of time. And I'm 72 years old, and I tell people all the time, I'm not here to entertain anyone.
Sure.
So I don't want to have people calling me because they want to sit and shoot the breeze and chit chat. Because I'm 72 and I don't have time to chit chat. I don't have time. You know, time is of the essence for me. I mean, there's so much I want to do and need to do and want to do. I just don't have the time. But I always try and make myself available.
Okay, so. Well, that's really good. Well, we'll ask people to respect that when you do contact Jordan on the details he just gave out. You're concise and to the point, of course, and have something direct to talk about, and you can get in contact there. Now, do you want to mention your URL as well for the website that we talked about before?
Well, you know what? see, my website that I've had for so many years is no longer in my care. My webmaster took it from me, so I don't have it anymore. And so I don't have anything anymore. It's all been taken from me. So I do have a new website for a radio show that I'm kind of thinking about doing, and so we put a website up for it. It's called the Jordan, and not the, it's just Jordan Maxwell Show. But it's really just a home page. There's nothing on it. We put it together for a possible radio show in the future. But if you wanted to talk with me at all, the best way to do that is email me, because I live on my computer. I don't go anywhere, so I live on the computer, so I get my emails continually during the day, and I try and answer them. And again, it's jordanmaxwell@gmail.com, and the Jordan does not have an A. So just email me, and I'll try and get back to you. And when I get my website back from the people who stole it from me, then I'll let the world know I'm back on track again and have my website back.
Mm.
And then, then I can do a lot more. Right now I can't do anything because I don't have anything.
All right, well, we'll hope that everything goes well there. And, of course, in the meantime, as Jordan said, then jordanmaxwellshow.com will get you to his temporary website. We're going to continue with more here in a little bit. We're going to take a break at this point. Thank you for the first segment, Jordan. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
And in the second hour, we'll begin on the British-Israel World Federation movement and talk about September 11th as an important date for the creation of a new kingdom. Jordan moves on to talk about higher intelligences that has been manipulating humanity for ages, leading and overshadowing us. He says different factions of higher beings that are at war with each other are basically playing with mankind. We'll explore the phenomena of reincarnation, free will, psychic ability, and the question of why, who, and where. Jordan ends with a personal UFO story from the 1950s. And as we round up the first hour with Jordan, I want to let you know that we have a member section with much more radio. Hundreds of hours of interviews going back to 2006, plus videos, films, commentary, and more on redeyesmembers.com, where you can sign up for a membership. And we'll return with much more in just a few days. Next up is Olle Demagogård from Sweden to talk about his book Coup d'etat in slow motion. This is about the murder of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, the very strange and two-faced character that have been both loved and hated by many on the international scene. It's a story that has connections with so many other international controversies and conspiracies. It's the Swedish JFK, if you will. It has many comparisons between the two cases. That's next, and after this, we're going to talk with Byron Belitzos about the Urantia book. We have Jeremy the Alien Scientist, Mark Safer on Tesla, and many more. And you're welcome to tune in again when we return, but hour two is now coming up with Jordan Maxwell. Thank you for staying with us.